Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority. But its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another week of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy. We're here. We are upon summertime. The kids are wrapping up. Exams are taking place. It is going to be time for summer to set in and, and relax a little bit, take a little break. We've all been so focused on all the activities that revolve around school, the extracurriculars, the school itself, that it becomes quite a rat race of its own within the rat race of the quick-paced world that we are in. But like we talked about last week, we had on Rick Barrett, the Armed Catholic, martyr number 6 from the Martyrs Walk, and also the host of the Daily Mag Dump, which is one of the only firearms shows that focuses on local, state, and federal laws throughout our country. And he is now going to be featured on the Carolina Catholic Media Network on Saturday afternoons following the replay of The Obligation starting at 4. So make sure to check that. But we talked about, just going from festival to festival, going from holiday to holiday. Let's make sure going into the summer, we're not just going to check out. We get out of our routines during the summer. The kids certainly do. And by the end of the summer, the parents are ready to pull their hair out and ship the kids off somewhere. And the kids are just as ready to go back to school, I think, in many cases. So do something at least every day, to keep yourself on track. It's easy to get lazy through the summer. The schedules are gone. We don't want to forget about that. And we want to make sure we stay on our spiritual A game. So be thinking about that. And while you're thinking about that, I'm going to be bringing on my for today, good friend, my close brother, martyr number 5 of the Martyrs Walk, Cesar Vasquez. He has the apostolate, the Sons of Mary, as a rosary apostolate, prays the rosary every single day, starting at 5:30 a.m. And then the Regina Caeli or the Angelus, depending on what time of the year it is, 3 times a day. Very impactful and important in my walk. And we'll talk about that shortly. But I'm excited to have on my good friend, Cesar Vasquez. Thanks for joining me on The Obligation, my brother. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, Jason. Thank you so very much. Thank you for having me on.
Looked back. I always like to look back. Several of my guests, I have them on multiple times. So I like to look back and see. You were back on shows 103 and 104 back in December. I think show 103, you and Joe Spano, our good Marine, off serving our country, who helped you to start the Sons of Mary apostolate. And then show 104, you guys came on with Brotherhood Angelic Crown, Eric and Pierce. We had a nice round robin conversation. So always back. So thanks again for being here. For those who maybe were not around and missed those and don't know about the Sons of Mary, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the Sons of Mary apostolate.
All right. So, credo Catholic, born and raised in South America in Peru. Moved here when I was 12. Not really that connected to my faith at that time. Went to church when I was young, growing up, but then I just kind of fell off and wasn't really connected. Went to school, all the secular stuff, while in college, jump around, drinking and all the different things that everybody does while they're in college. My junior year, that's when I met my wife. And we just kind of met, wasn't anything but just two people working together. And then after school, we caught up, and then that's where our relationship started to flourish. during that time, I started to get a little bit, you know, her family, every Sunday, it was Sunday mass, Sunday dinner. So we would always go together. And then she's like, come on, let's go to mass. I said, sure. And then I got back into mass, started going fairly regularly, not really deep into it yet, but I was going fairly regularly. And we ended up talking about, you know, eventually engagement, marriage. And that's where it just hit me. And I was like, I had my first communion. Haven't been confirmed yet. So decided to go through that process. And then we were married. And then not until, I would say 2016, around the birth of my daughter, who's my third child, my father-in-law passed about maybe 3 months after my daughter was born. And I was, and I mentioned in the first time we spoke, I, you know, had seen some of my aunts on my wife's side just praying the rosary. But then my mother-in-law, before he passed, started praying it more consistently. I would, you know, would always hear sitting down praying. And then I started to ask questions. And that turned into, well, I'm going to get my own rosary. And I saw the book that she was, the prayer book she had. So I bought my own and I started reading it. And then just started praying the rosary. But again, very inconsistently. And then at one point, roughly almost a year now, I decided that I needed something. Because every time I prayed the rosary, I felt very relaxed, more centered, more connected. So then, but again, not consistently enough. And then I started jumping on Instagram and I was like, oh, you know, I had been on Facebook and I was like, this is too much. I'm wasting my time here. So then eventually I was like, oh, let me jump on Instagram. And then I started seeing the different rosary groups and they were often led by women. And just, I was like, where are the men? Where are they? You know, I would see random sporadic, like sprinkled through man that would be part of those rosaries, but not lead them. So I, Joe Spano, I don't know, somehow we connected. I still don't remember how we connected, but somehow we connected. And I saw him posting a couple of times and I liked some of the things I was saying. And then one day, so then we befriended each other on Instagram and he starts to pray the rosary. So I'm like, okay. So I was like, I liked it. And I was like, and then we connected and I said, what is that about? He's like, oh, well, you know, and he explained the whole story that he had been wanting to, same idea, hadn't met anyone or hadn't found a men led rosary group. So then he said, you know, I want to start praying the rosary. I was like, oh, me too. So let's get together and figure it out. So we did. And that was, I believe, first time we did it was November 8th of 22. And then we decided that we would do it. And, you know, he's like, well, what time do you want to do it? I said, well, my days, once they pick up, there's no way I can make time. So first in the morning, he's like, okay. So he says he wakes up at 4:30. I was like, that's a little early for me. But how about we do 5:30? So we said, all right, fine. So we started 5 days a week. But then we quickly realized that it's hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate getting up, but I'm up at 4:45 every single morning. And even holidays, weekends, doesn't matter. But I know that it helps. I need a routine. And then it helps me kind of get things situated because my day started in the right note. You know, I've been doing those 100 burpees every single morning prior to the rosary since January 1st. So second, actually. So that's my routine. I get up, brush my teeth. I do the 100 burpees and then I jump up for the rosary. And then I get my day started. That's what we've been doing with the Sons of Mary. So now it's just that's what we do, and that's how I got connected to you. I got connected to Joe and Tico and John and Daniel.
Yeah.
So that's how we all got, and Rick, and so that's how we got all connected. Just that one little thing, just getting up and praying the rosary, and you know, again, I wasn't thinking of going live. I was like, what the hell? Well, what is that all about? Started doing it, and it's opened up a lot of doors, and it's led me to the Martyr's Walk, and to kind of look within and examine who I am and who I need to be, yeah. not just for myself, but also for my wife and my children, for my family.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned, you know, November 2022, and I need to look back, and I know there's some messages when I first sent to you and Joe, and I've told the story before, you know, basically heading offshore fishing, and it's early 5 a.m. The last thing I thought I would have popping up on my phone would be a live of two guys praying the rosary while I'm 10 miles offshore, you know, heading off to fish. And, you know, it was a pivotal point in my life. I had, you know, grown a little comfortable. I wasn't sacrificing. I wasn't doing much penance, wasn't living badly. I wasn't, you know, not going to church. You know, I was still saying the rosary each day, as best I could. I, you know, probably wasn't doing it as well. And, but then seeing two guys pray, that iron sharpens iron, that is it's so very true. And it was a remarkable moment to see these two guys while I'm out selfishly, you know, maybe selfishly or not, you know, going fishing and, you know, excusing the fact that I can get up early to go fishing, but I can never get up early. And I just wasn't cut out to get up to pray. It was sort of a weak excuse. And I'm gonna have to look and see, you know, it probably wasn't too many weeks after you guys started that, if not, you know, the first couple of weeks. And then ever since then, I've been, you know, getting up with you guys at 5:30, changing the way I do things. I've been able to enjoy so many more things in my life that I wasn't appreciating. I was being lazy, letting my wife, she not only was getting up with the kids, she was getting school and then taking the kids to school while lazy me, you know, thought, you know, well, I'm just not cut out to get up early and I'm going to sleep in. And so it allowed me now to start, you get more time. God will allow you the opportunity to get, you know, have as much time as you make, you know, allowable. He will fit it into your schedule. And I've had so many good, you know, good mornings, you know, with the kids, being able to spend that time with them. We pray on the way to school off, and I'm able to stop by the church. I mean, just so many blessings there. And, you know, like you said, you know, able to link up with several other men to help hold me accountable. And I think that's the beauty of it. You know, we're not only praying together, but we're spreading that faith, and we are holding each other accountable. And through that, like you said, the martyr's walk came to be, and so many other things along the way, such a great blessing. So I appreciate, you know, the time and the effort you have and the dedication you've put into it, because, you know, it's always, you know, it's one life, right? If we make the difference in one person's life, we succeeded. And sir, I need to tell you that, you know, the Rosary Apostolate you embarked on, at least, you know, I know I'm not the only one, but it certainly made a difference in my life. So thank you.
Thank you. The people that I'm surrounding myself with, you know, it's like, as they say, you know, if you swim with sharks, you're a shark, you know?
That's right.
So,
well, you know, we talked about, you know, the martyr's walk and some of how that came to be. You know, Rick, of course, was a part of that. You know, when the idea of it, you know, came around, started considering the different components and who would be involved, and your name, you know, it came to the surface, and I thought, well, you know, Caesar, he'd be a, you know, great guy to be there to help, you know, teach and lead the rosary. Talk to my wife and she, you know, just kind of about the whole idea that we were having. And you know, in the martyr's walk, we're going to get a lot of guys from different walks of life. And our goal is to, you know, call them to the table, to hold them accountable, and to let them realize that, you know, they are called to more, and they are certainly capable of much, self-included. You know, we hold back. Society has conditioned us to believe that we are not capable of greatness any longer. And, you know, through that, you know, we're probably going to run into guys who have had trauma in their life, who have had addiction problems, whether they have to do with, you know, pornography or work addiction. Like for myself, I can say that was probably my addiction of choice, or drugs and alcohol, you name it. All guys, you know, we tend to, you know, we have something of of control in our lives that we'll default to replace for our responsibilities. That's just the way it is. You know, if stress has come, you know, we're going to turn to something else. It could be pornography. It could be, like I said, all the other vices that will come our way. And certainly the enemy, you know, knows what our particular choice of drug is, you could say. But anyway, we knew we would need someone in the mental health field to handle that, because, you know, that's a very specific issue. When you dig down into a man and you've opened him up, you better be prepared for what lies beneath. You can't unpeel the layers of the onion and then kind of be like, hey, man, sorry, I didn't know you were going through all that. I don't know what to do. You got to have some experience. And so when I approached you about, you know, being part of the Martyrs Walk, I got to say, in my human, you know, limited capacity, I was thinking small. Not that the rosary is small, not that someone who's going to lead the rosary, but I was thinking I needed that particular spot filled. Little did I know when I first talked to you, and after I had, you know, kind of painted the picture of the Martyrs Walk in that respect about the rosary, I then came to find out that you had been in the mental health field for over 10 years in New York State. I mean, that's a miracle, in my opinion. That's God bringing men together. And so how was that for you, you know, learning about the Martyrs Walk and this spot here? You know, what is it, you know, what's it mean to you?
I've been in the mental health field for almost 20 years now.
Oh, 20. Wow.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. 20. No, it's okay. No, it's, and I remember from when I first started, I wanted to make a big difference. And, I realized that, the world is very broken. And one of the things is, like, I always thought, you know, let me start working with younger people. So, like, that's how I started my career, working with young kids and their families. And then I quickly realized that the kids are just their behaviors, their symptoms are often a symptom of a bigger problem, which is the family. So I, you know, I don't know if you remember the programs like Outward Bound. And, and I was in my head, I was like, I want to do something like that. Like that's what I would love to do. I mean, I worked in camps in the YMCAs growing up, just working with kids. And I loved it. I'd just being outside. And I've always thought about it. And then when, you know, you reached out and, I was, you know, I thought about it and I'm like, and then I brought up to my wife's attention. She goes, so when you're starting? And I said, like, you know, cause my wife is very, like, it's always about, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? She's like, no, she just said, like I felt like she was saying, just jump in head first. Mm-hmm. What are you going to think about?
Yeah.
She said this is something that you've been thinking about for a long time. This is what you want to do. This is a great opportunity to expand, not just be, you know, right now I work in telehealth. You know, I left the state and now I'm working telehealth. And she's like, well, this is something you can do. You can help. You can use your faith and what you've learned and what you continue to learn and use that to help other men to be the fathers, the husbands, the brothers, the spouses that, yeah, that they feel like they need to be or want to be. So, I mean, it's just, there was no question. I was like, all right, let's go. What are we doing? Yeah. And it was just, it's been an eye-opening experience for me. It's been a huge change for me. Just sitting there, you know, and then throughout the whole thing, it's like, you know, just sitting down and we had those moments where we all got together and got to talk. And like, it brought a lot of feeling for me, a lot of emotion. And I was, at one point I was like, sorry guys, there it goes again. It's just like me, just it's, and I think that's the big thing. It's like, as men, we're like, hold it on, just keep moving forward. But then it builds and builds and builds. And that's where we have this, it's like an outcry of anger, like in frustration. And then we have to find other ways to relieve that pressure when we're not looking inward and paying attention to what we're actually feeling, what we're thinking. And I'm not talking about just, you know, every 2 minutes start crying. What I'm talking about is like experiencing what you need to experience and realize the fact that there are many things within each of us that we struggles and traumas and frustrations and, you know, this overwhelming stress that we have all the time. And, you know, what was it? I think Joe Rogan had said, you know, men live their lives in quiet desperation. you know? And that's, and that resonated with me when I heard that, because it's like, we do, we have to be a certain way. We have to have this like wall to protect ourselves and to keep moving forward. But then we don't have the capability. We can only go so far with that until it just, things break down. And that's where you run to drugs, alcohol, and porn, you know, because that's, I need to find something to fulfill, fill that void and help me cope. But again, these are all things that just are going to destroy your soul. They're going to destroy who you are, and they're going to it's misdirection, right? It's that detour that is not really healthy for you. And it's just, and I think that's one of the reasons that I think the Martyr's Walk is going to be so impactful. It's going to have such an impact on men, young men, husbands, older men, whoever it is that decides to go. It's going to have a huge impact. It's had a huge impact on me.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to jump off here, Caesar, real quick. Talking to Caesar Vasquez, Sons of Mary Apostolate, and also of the Martyr's Walk, Martyr number 5. And you listen to The Obligation. We'll be right back.
As the secular world continues to attack manhood, the home, and Christianity, the time has come for the steadfast men of the kingdom to take a stand. Men have become far too at ease, complacent, and careless in their roles as the men, fathers, and spouses that God has called them to be. The remedy for this apathy is the Martyr's Walk. The Martyr's Walk seeks to push each man to his breaking point in mind, body, and soul, allowing him to recognize the self-made constraints and obstacles he has imposed on himself and permitted others to impose on him fall well short of his God-given potential for greatness. The only competition a man will face on this walk will be himself. The walk takes place August 24th through the 26th in North Carolina. Go to themartyrswalk.com and fill out an application today. Will you be ready?
We're back. Thanks for sticking around. My name is Jason Murphy. The show is The Obligation. My brother is Caesar Vasquez, the Sons of Mary Rosary Apostolate. And we're talking about the importance of brotherhood. We're talking about the Martyr's Walk, you know, talking about how, you know, it is so important, vital for men to be able to have a healthy expression of their emotions, of what they're going through, because we tend to bottle it up. We tend to shove it down. Will have us fill our heads with so many different things, you know, and the last thing they want us to do is address anything that's going to, you know, help us to be better and to be more, to help us to be, you know, our meet and fulfill our call from God as the men, the fathers, and husbands were created to be. You know, while you were talking earlier, Caesar, you know, talking that about that inability of man, how we just compartmentalize, we cram it down until it festers and it blows up like a volcano, because we have not learned as a society, and it doesn't look like it's getting any better, how to deal with our stresses. You know, we're given all these false solutions, whether they're drugs or alcohol or pornography or activities or sports, you know, everything to pour ourselves into so that we don't acknowledge what's going on. It kind of reminded me of maybe, you know, the enemy's trick, you know, before confession, give us every excuse why not to bring something up. Maybe that particular sin that we've fought with for so long, or maybe that one that we don't really want to acknowledge for what it truly is, and we want to downplay it, so we squash it down. So you could kind of equate that squashing down of this sin, you could say, in comparison to the squashing down of your emotions. And that is the last thing we want to do. And, you know, we want to be able to bring that out, because when you bring that out, you know, we're healed through that. And especially in brotherhood, you know, it's mentioned that, you know, you heal yourself when you heal others, you know, mm-hmm. So in those times of comfort and counsel with our brothers, and, you know, letting them know, hey brother, you're not alone. I've been there. And it's symbolic of also the priest sitting there saying, hey man, guess what? I've heard that sin 1,000 times. You aren't the only one. You've got nothing original. Come back when you got something original. You know? But we want to act like our sins are the best and worst sins. And so we squash them and we push them down. And that's just as much of a trick and a problem as not, you know, being able to express our emotions properly, don't you think?
I agree 100%. I mean, we live in such a fast-paced world. It's, you know, you have these stupid things, the cell phones and this thing, and you have to go and just move, produce. But we don't take the time to slow down, right? I mean, you know, Ferris Bueller said it well, you know, it's like sometimes you got to stop and smell the roses. Okay. But the reality is that's extremely true. We turn away from our faith, our inward ability to just kind of slow down and pay attention. We avoid, and that's the biggest thing that any of the people that I work with, the clients that I have, that a lot of them, that's all they avoid because it's so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult for them to, or for any of us, to lean into what we need to lean into, and feel what we need to feel and experience what we need to experience, because it's extremely uncomfortable and it causes so much discomfort and anxiety and just like these feelings that we're not, it's like, you know, I'm not supposed to feel this. Mm-hmm. You know, however, the more we avoid, the bigger that becomes. And then it becomes, and like I said, it festers and it bottles up, and then you start to ruminate and overthink things, and then you never achieve what you need to achieve. Mm-hmm. At like whatever that might be, whatever your goals are. And however, the more you lean into it and you pay attention, you slow down, the more likely you are to just kind of spend that time, which is well time spent, and then you can move on, you know?
I mean, part of that solution too is also what your vocation is, what your call is, what your role is. You know, what is a father? A true definition of a father, not what you know, primetime television is going to show you what a father is. A man who can, you know, is not taken serious. A man who is an idiot and just a fool. A man who is an extremist, maybe because he has some sort of semblance of a prayer life, faith. You know, this dupe, right? Who's consumed with women, with pornography. That is what you'll find. I mean, if you look at any, I don't watch primetime television, haven't in a long time. But you know, that is pretty much what you'll get. You know, the Homer Simpson dad is kind of what society, I think, wants men to think they are. And unfortunately, we've bought into it. Mm-hmm. And we've become these Homer Simpson dads that sit back and you know, let the wives, you know, run the house. And I don't mean in a negative way there, or a sexist way, that there isn't a role specifically for a mother to run in a house, but that the guys just check out. We let the wives take care of the faith. We let the wives take care of the kids. You know, we go out there and we make our money, and you know, we put food on the table. And after that, you know, we're off to the golf course. We are off to the sporting events. And we've just checked out. And so we have to know, you know, it's one thing being able to address your emotions properly and have them balanced and have healthy outlets. And of course, mm-hmm. develop a prayer life, but you also have to know, like, what role of a true father is. What is the role of a Catholic male, whatever their vocation, whether they're single or married or whatever it may be, a call to a priestly vocation or a monastic vocation. But everyone has to know that. And a part of that walk, a part of that brotherhood is getting to know other men, like-minded men who can help guide you. You know, and like I said, you learn from helping others. You will learn things about yourself by helping someone going through something similar, or maybe even something completely different, but in the way that you perceive it. So we have to have that. We have to have that brotherhood, because there's so many great lessons and examples that our brothers will be able to help us in. You know, you've got to surround yourself with minded people, but if we just surround ourselves with what the world wants to give us, and we isolate and we think that maybe we're just cut out differently. That's the trick right there. That was my trick. I was like, well, no one's out there praying. No one's out there, you know, trying to better themselves. So like, what's it worth? Do we really need to do it? Like all these people living these lives. And it's almost the trick of Job's companions. You know, why, Job, why put yourself through this? Look, you know, you don't have to do like this. You don't have to penance upon yourself. You don't have to be different. Just, you know, curse God and move on with your life. Mm-hmm. Such a trick.
That is what happens. We've been trained to believe that's the case. Like, you know, no, there's nothing more. But I mean, like just with I'm the breadwinner in the home. Right. So my wife and I, we had a discussion once our kids were born. So we're looking now 12 years ago. That's how old my oldest is, 12 and a half. And she decided, you know, we decided we had a conversation about it. She's like, you know what? I think I'm going to stay home. I said, okay, perfect. Let's do that. So I'm the breadwinner, right? So she stays home. She manages the home. She manages her, takes care of our kids. We homeschool. So in my head, I'm going, okay, I have to work, make money. But at what cost, right? When I worked for the state, I worked in a psychiatric emergency room, and I was pulling doubles, 2-3 doubles at a time. I was at the door before 6, got home after 11 o'clock at night, didn't see my kids for 3-4 days, didn't see my wife for 3-4 days. They were all sleeping by the time I got home. And for what? You know, but at that point, I kept thinking, oh yeah, this is what I need to, this is what a man is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right. And I've kept doing it, and I just had to, and then I was always focused on work. And then, you know, then I left to stay and now work from home. But again, my son sent this to my wife, a few weeks before the martyr's walk. You know, you're right, mama. We only see Papa for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. Because every time I had free time, I got paperwork to do. I have paperwork to do. I have to catch up with this. I have to do that. And, you know, after Martyrs Walk, I realized, you know, like during the Martyrs Walk, it's like, you know, that was the biggest gripe, the biggest sin I had. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, the other things that we all, you know, like the various sins, but just the main thing for me was I've sinned. I've idolized my work to make sure that I can provide. That was my excuse, right? So I can provide. I'm working so I can provide.
That's the trick, yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, I'm missing out on my kids.
Yep.
I'm missing out on my wife. And you know, I remember clearly I can see my daughter saying, Papa, look what I drew. And I'd be like, yeah, in a minute. I got to respond to this email. In a minute, I have to do this. In a minute, I have to do that. And that minute never came. And so I decided to, you know, after the Mars walk, I decided to turn off, like delete all the applications that I needed for work on my phone. I don't need them. I don't get paid to be on call. I said, you know what? I deleted all the emails, the Slack, the Google Meets, all that stuff off of it. And it's funny because like, as soon as I deleted them, this weight came off my shoulders. I mean, everything is still in my laptop and it's like there. But again, once this gets shut off, it's done.
Yeah.
And then, and I said to myself, I said, you know what? And again, still a lot of pressure in my own head going, you have to get this. You got to get this done. I got to stay on top of it. And then I said, you know what? For what? I'm always going to be behind the eight ball. There's always going to be new paperwork. I could try to get rid of all the paperwork I'm doing, but overnight there's going to be more to do. So I said, forget it. I'm just going to 5 o'clock hits and I'm done. 5 o'clock hits and I'm done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to focus on my family. And there's been a change. I'm less stressed out, less on edge. My wife and my mother-in-law were talking, and my wife told me that, you know, it's like they both noticed that I'm less on edge, less irritable, more patient. And, you know, I still get annoyed every once in a while, but not to the level that I was. So it's, and I think that's what it comes down to being a man or being a husband or being a, you know, it's not just about work, but it's like being present, being a good influence on your children, teaching them, showing them how to do things. being there for your spouse, for your wife, you know, and, you know, catechizing your family, church, mass, praying the rosary, you know, being present, having fun, rolling around with your kids, you know, and those moments are far and few, you know, it's like once they're gone, they're gone.
And they come and they go very, very quickly. You know, there's got to be a hierarchy of our obligations. You know, there's many obligations we have. You know, we certainly have to be able to, you know, provide and protect, put food on the table and those type of things. But we also have an obligation of a higher degree to look out for the spiritual benefit, you know, and salvation of the souls of those entrusted to us, namely in our wives, or if we're not married or not with kids, you know, those in our circle, those in our families, those in our friendship or around church. And so it's a proper categorization of obligations. And if we're not careful, you know, one can really top the other, you know, one can get too top heavy. Was listening to Daniel Vu yesterday. He was talking to Doug Barry, and they were talking about, you know, proper preparation for, you know, potential catastrophes. Not that you have to be overly consumed, but you have to, you can't be on the other side. You can't be overly consumed, and you can't just, you know, say, well, I'll just pray about it. You know, there's got to be a proper balance. Yes, there's prayer and there's works, as St. Paul says. And so, you know, we have to have a good balance. You can't just sit at home and pray that God will provide and put food on the table. That's not going to happen. We have to cooperate in our salvation. We have to cooperate in those actual types of works. But it's being able to balance them and keep them all, you know, at a proper level. But first and foremost, the salvation of souls and those of, you know, of course, ourselves and those entrusted to us. So maintaining that, very important, and recognizing that natural order, you know, that God given natural order of things. Every circumstance, there's certainly different circumstances, and every, you know, family is not the same. But, you know, just kind of a funny story. My wife, she's a school teacher, at least was until our first child was born. So here we are, six kids later. The youngest is now 2.5. And she missed teaching. You know, she enjoys teaching. So we talked, and she wants to go back to teaching. I think it's a great idea. She's still going to be home. She's not going to be a full-time teacher. She'll go when the kids are in school, and she'll be home when the kids get out of school. So it was funny because I think one of my kids was listening to a conversation or a different conversation, and I was basically just laying out the natural order, you know, how of, you know, women are to, they're the nurturer. They give birth to the children. They have that instinct, that caring that men just, unfortunately, we're just not cut out that way. I'm not saying every man, and I'm not saying every woman is nurturer, but, you know, part and parcel, I would think, in a generalization of man and woman, there's a natural order where the man is to provide, protect, you know, to the family. And so anyway, one of the kids said, well, Dad said that women shouldn't work. And I said, no, Dad did not say that women should not work. Dad said, in a proper, you know, generalization, we are created that way. That's the, you know, because they said, well, you know, you're saying that women don't have important roles. Well, our Lord chose Mary to give birth to Jesus. Well, yes, you're right. Sure. And to be there to love him and gave Saint Joseph as the protector and the provider. And so there's a natural order there. So when the mother's not there, and the father, you know, when they're neither one of there, you miss that. Or when the father's home, there could be a slight, you know, a change in things. Now, some dads are going to be more nurturing than mothers. So there's not a perfect way, but if you're looking at it from a creation perspective, going back to Adam and Eve and the sin, the effects of that sin, that women will have pain in childbirth and the man shall work by the sweat of his brow. And you can go all through biblical history as well and see the natural order. It's just understanding that, you know, it's understanding that natural order and, you know, living it to our purpose and what we're called to. I think we're going to have to jump off, Caesar, man. We get going here and great conversation, but it flies by. I think we're going to have to jump off another quick minute. I'm going to come right back. We are talking to Caesar Vasquez of the Sons of Mary Rosary Apostolate. And we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the role of masculinity, true masculinity, Catholic manhood. And we'll be right back. There's a gun and ammunition just inside the doorway. Use it only in emergency.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking around. You're listening to The Obligation. We're talking to Cesar Vasquez, martyr number 5 from the Martyr's Walk. You've been hearing a lot about the Martyr's Walk recently. Cesar is also a clinical social worker, a mental health therapist, going to be involved with the Martyr's Walk. So the Martyr's Walk is a live and in-person journey of virtual martyrdom that will include extreme fitness, mental and spiritual exercises and challenges that will push you beyond your perceived abilities. This intensely immersive experience will take you on a 3-day journey of prayer, brotherhood, and healing, all in the light of traditional Christian principles and teachings. They will then take a deep dive into what's holding you back from being the man God is calling you to be. You will be pushed to die to self so that Christ may live in you. You know, more on that, you can go to www.themartyrswalk.com. Cesar, what do you think? Is that a pretty accurate description?
Yes. Actually, the one piece that resonated with me was the looking at the face of the things that are holding you back. You know, what you perceive as holding you back, what society does for, like, holds you back, how it holds you back. But I think specifically what you, the mental barriers you put yourself through the difficulties and the perceived problems that you create for yourself. You know, I feel like that's one of the things that has been my biggest problem. It's just like, I create problems for myself, create barriers for myself, and accepting the fact that those things are there. And then you just need to move forward. You can't be stagnant. You have to find a way to get out of the mud. And sometimes it's through the support and the assistance of your brothers, you know. And I mentioned this, you know, I was the oldest of 3, had sisters. I never had a brother. And I believe that during the Martyr's Walk, that's one of the things I mentioned during a chapter, that I you know, I've never had brothers, but this is as close as you're going to get.
Same here. Yeah.
You know, it's just like others that are like-minded, that are on the same move forward, that they're looking to enhance their spiritual life, their life, and just to be more like the men they're supposed to be, you know, husbands, fathers, brothers.
Yeah. When we have a duty, it's, you know, it goes beyond the four door or the four walls of our house. You know, mm-hmm. It is, you know, once you can kind of understand what you're called to in your domestic church, it doesn't stop there. We're called to evangelize. We are called to bring that faith out and be apostles to others around us. And then in this world, it is heroic. It is anything but, you know, it is anything short of heroic to be able to go out in this world who will mock and hate, because it is going in a crazy direction. And, you know, I know we got to talk about it. You know, it's the pink elephant in the room. And, you know, I hate to use pink as the color, but, you know, we're coming up on June. Mm-hmm. It's Pride Month, according to the world. I think for us, as the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, last year, I know we had an amazing on the Feast of the Sacred Heart, I believe Roe versus Wade, you know, in the midst of the world, which you think nothing can come up from the nosedive we're in, somehow, some way, by the grace of God, you know, the Roe versus Wade decision was reversed. And that all took place on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. So we're coming up upon that. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of this mob mentality, this, you know, trying to train us the way we're supposed to think, even though it's contrary to our beliefs and our faith. But we're seeing it. We're seeing it from the top down. We're seeing it from the large corporations started well before Bud Light. But Bud Light, I think, has a big dose of reality, seeing that, you know, people don't want this LGBTQ pride agenda that's being pushed. And you're there, and you've got some of the department stores, of course, Target, really under a lot of heat right now for the type of clothing and all the agenda that's being pushed. I've seen, I think Kohl's was the most recent, and North Face, which I've got some North Face stuff, and Target, you know, that's something that, you know, our family has been shopping at for a long time. And we're going to have to take some cold, hard look there. And it's hard to cut it all out, but when it's being blatantly thrown in our faces, and most recently, you know, we became aware, not that they were trying to promote it, but the show that everybody's consumed with, especially, you know, mainstream Christians, a lot of Catholics, I'm talking about the TV series, The Chosen. You know, on their set, there was a gay pride flag just recently. And, you know, what do you do? How do you react to that? You know, we're not trying to cause problems. We're not trying to say that there's hate who has, you know, same sex attractions or gender dysphoria. We love the sinner, hate the sin. But now it's even from a place where we thought it might not be, you know, we're seeing it.
Well, the agenda that these groups have, you know, it's the push, you know, it's like you said, you know, it's not the sinner, it's the sin. Just the way things are being carried out, they're very much in your face, and they're pushing, they're going after our children. That is the biggest sin, yeah. You know, like, don't do that. You know, like, you want to live your life however you want to live. You don't believe in certain things. That's your decision. You know, we can bring it up to your attention, like, hey, this is what we have going on. This is what we believe. But if you choose not to, that's on you. But don't try to then indoctrinate. And I know that's a word that, like, the catchphrase for everything, you know, but just it's heart-wrenching, and it's upsetting that, look, it's my children. Like you mentioned before, our Lord has given us our children for a purpose, to make saints of them, to create them, to raise them, to love them and care for them, ensure that they can get to that point in their lives where they're able to make these decisions. But again, as children, they're not able to. That's why our Lord has given them to us, and to guide them and show them and nurture them. And now, mind now, and with all these things going on in the world, everything's in your face. Again, back to these things, you know, like all these kids have all these different phones. I'm just like, oh, well, how are we supposed to? Well, you're the parent. You know, you're there to protect them, to show them, to guide them. That's one of the reasons that we homeschool. We don't want our kids exposed to all these, these different types of these ideologies that take you away from that hurt your soul.
Yeah. You know, we're a product of our environment, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're surrounded by wholesomeness and goodness and prayer, and scripture, morals and ethics, well, you're going to be a product of that.
Yeah.
And if you're a product of what the world is trying to make that you're a product of, and unfortunately, if where you're getting your information is limited to the television, social media, or the big corporations, and unfortunately, people believe that. They think, well, if you see it on TV, and well, if Disney's doing it, and if Bud Light's doing it, oh, it's got to be great. And no, speaking of Disney, you know, we're Disney's done in this house, and my kids will never step foot on that. We've never been to Disney as a family. And I know people think, oh, you're holding no, my kids are going to live a perfectly healthy life without setting foot in Disney. It's just not going to happen. And now I know, I just saw something yesterday that there's a male Cinderella. There's a man dressed up as Cinderella with a mustache greeting children to go through in one of the departments or areas, help them doing their Disney shopping. And children, boys and girls, can dress in the opposite sex. And I mean, it's out of hand. And people are just
eating it up.
They're indoctrinated. They're eating it up. And they think that's just normal. Well, Disney's doing it. Well, CNN said it. Well, Target's selling it. It's got to be right. It's crazy.
No. I mean, it's wild to me that it's gotten to that point that, you know, it's, you know, even just it used to be ladies and gentlemen, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. But now it's just like, what is the term that they're using? They're using something like, you know, like people, like, you know, it's just so frustrating that why do I need to change that? Why do we need, you know, why do I need to expose my kids to? We have the New York State Museum here in Albany. And sometime, I believe, in the next 2 months, there's going to be, I think it's story time right in the museum, but it's going to be this huge event, but there's going to be drag queens and it's, they're going to be they're targeting kids at that point. They're going to be doing all, you know, they have all the show, these events specific to kids and families. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, why do we need to do that? You know, and my wife brought it to my attention, and she's like, everybody, and she's looking at all the posters that people are going, everybody's going, yay, you know, this is going to be so great. You know, our kids get to see this, and it's so wonderful. And I'm like, what's wonderful about it?
Yeah.
You know,
the fact that you're, man. Yeah. The mobs. I mean, it's on Carnival Cruise Lines. They've got drag shows. It is just normal. People think it's just normal because some of these larger companies and corporations are doing it, and they just, well, gosh, if it's on Carnival Cruise, it can't be that bad, right? If I'm taking the kids.
Look at Dodgers. Look at Dodgers, the Dodgers team. Yeah. And I saw this one video on this. The Sisters of Perpetual, whatever they're called. I don't even know what their name is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw this one video. It's this, there's this cross, and there's this man that's supposed to represent Jesus. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you see out of nowhere another man dressed in as a woman. Mm. Almost it looks like he's doing a lap dance.
Yeah.
Jumping over the crawl. And I'm like, how is this okay?
Yeah.
You know, and I think we've discussed this. It's like, how are Catholics allowing this to happen?
Yeah.
The Jewish people.
Oh,
some people would be up in arms.
Absolutely.
Just wouldn't happen. But we as Catholics are allowing this to happen. It's okay.
Well, we've allowed it. We have caused the church has allowed it for 60 years because everything's been watered down and secularized and feminized that we've done it to ourselves. We have done it to ourselves, and now we are paying the price. We are seeing the product. We are seeing the fruits born through weak men, which equate to weak families, which equate to weak churches. And it is time to stand up. So we're coming up on our time, but I'm going to give you the last couple minutes here to give us a call out. Let's, what can we do? It's time to call out, man. If you're standing on the sideline, it's time to get in the game. It's time to stand up.
I think it's, lead your families, lead your kids, lead your wives, work, ensure that you're running your family. You're working with people, and you're getting more, creating your own brotherhood, right? Bring people that are like-minded to start discussing these things and standing up and just saying, we're not going to put up with this. This is the last battle fought between, the family and marriage. It's like, that's the thing, my wife and I know everybody's tired of hearing this, but we just celebrated 17 years. I never thought I was going to be married 17 years with a family, but it's the best choice I ever made.
That's right.
It's like, oh, you don't need to get married. You can have kids out of wedlock. That's fine. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. There's an order. Like you mentioned, going back to the first things you said, there's an order to things. And the order is marriage, children. That's what the whole purpose of this is. Men and women together, to come together in holy matrimony for the only purpose of having a family.
Yeah. You want to attack modernity, get married, have a bunch of kids, practice the faith, and the world will change.
Agreed. Yeah. If we all just started looking at that and looking at marriage and family as a priority, not, oh, well, I have to work and I have to do this and I have to create my careers and that, then you lose out on all that time.
Yeah.
Continue, and us as men, we need to continue to lead our families and teach them and help them understand that that's the way you do it.
That's right.
Make good choices and family and kids.
That's it.
Lead your families. That's what men need to do. Men need to be men.
Estovir. If you want to meet some other men, you can join Caesar and the Sons of Mary and several other guys, myself included, 5:30 a.m. every morning Eastern Standard Time on Instagram. What is that handle, Caesar, if folks want to join you and find out more about Sons of Mary?
At the Sons of Mary, and that'll be it. We'll be there every single morning, 5:30 a.m. Might be a couple minutes after.
Come on down and join yourself, gentlemen. Penance is not just for Lent. Mm-hmm. It is every day. It is every day to offer something up to our Lord, to be a continual sacrifice like our Lord, his life and his death poured out in sacrifice for us. So it is our job and our duties to imitate him and be like him so that we'll be with him in heaven. Caesar, martyr number 5, great talking to you. To talk with you soon, and I'll definitely be seeing you for the Martyrs Walk on August 24th to the 26th in Charlotte, and I'll see you in the morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
All right. And everybody out there, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. God bless, and Estovir.